This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome. This is another edition of Grapsy Interviews. Of course, you know me. I'm Phil Lindsay, my co-host Righteous Reg. But yep, we have a guest, one half of the Goddess of Stardom Tag Team Champions, Tekla, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. You've got a lot coming up. Tag League, of course, is going on right now. But have a historic crossover 2 coming up on November 17th, where you're going to have a mixed tag match where you and Clark Connor will be facing former stablemate in Knott's Poi and her partner, Tai Chi. Now, of course, you've got history with Knott's Poi from her emotional exit from Donna Del Mondo. How does it feel going into this mixed tag match and facing her again?
I'm feeling pretty good about it, to be honest. I enjoy every second that I get to kick her ass, to be honest. So we've been having trouble back and forth for months, years now. So now that the war is full on, I'm really enjoying it. I'm not going to complain.
You guys just had a World of Stardom Championship match about a month ago. Talk to me about how the match went and how you're feeling coming out of it, knowing you get to get your hands on her again at Historic Crossover 2.
Right. So the match that we had was pretty intense. It was very physical. And obviously, I had just had Clark come in and surprise speared the heck out of her. During one of our matches. So she was pretty pissed about that, and I was pretty happy about that. So the match, I think, was very, very heated from the start on and very physical. And then, yeah, as the match continued, she, in the end, hit me with one of her new moves, Ferial Dust 2 or whatever it's called. And that's when I kind of fractured my wrist. So after that, I knew there was no... there was no reason to get back up again. And I knew immediately that I was hurt. So she won the match, and I had a fractured wrist, and I was out for a month, and that's basically her fault. So yeah, a new grudge was born basically. So it's really like a revenge back and forth, you know, me getting her getting me. And now it's back to me, balls back in my court. But yeah, on the other hand, I'm happy because it gave me a cast, right? I'm actually 1 month early. I'm supposed to be still recovering and not entering Tag League or fighting Knott's Poi or whatever. So, but we had a match 2 days ago. It was her and Saori versus me and Momo. Yeah, knocked her out, knocked her silly with the cast. So basically, I got right back to her again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it is what it is, but I'm definitely going to be using that cast again on the 17th. It's not a secret. It works very well.
Coming off of that injury, sporting the cast now, you seem like you're doing pretty well. You said you're a month ahead of time, and you guys have picked up 3 consecutive wins in Tag League. Right. How are you feeling about your chances of winning this whole thing?
As you said, we won 3 consecutive times. I'm feeling pretty, pretty good about it. So Momo is great. She's a fantastic wrestler, and she's always there for everything. So she's always got my back, and I always got crazy and sinister ideas to torture. Yeah, beat the hell out of whoever we've got in front. So I think we're a really good, we're a really good team. So I, it's looking pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Before we came on to the interview, you were talking to me about you had just came off of those three matches and the intensity of how some of these weekends could be. Talk to us a little bit about the tournament format, because you were in the five-star Grand Prix earlier this year and you have very extensive experience in tournaments. So talk to us about the intensity of these tournaments and how you were able to get back to it night after night.
It's very intense, I have to say. So tournaments are always like, bam, match, match, match after match. I've got now November only, in like 3 weeks or something, I've got 10 matches, I think. Ooh. And they're all high intensity, right? So everybody's trying to go for the gold, and you can really feel it. You know, people are injured, working through injuries. You know, we're working through tough time schedules, but also the traveling. So it can get very intense, and there's nothing's for free, you know. But if you're like me, I like a good challenge. I was excited to try this with a cast on, you know what I mean? Like, it's a double challenge. It's not only, okay, I haven't been in the ring for a month and I have to get back like three matches in a row, but it's also like, okay, and I'm going to have to do this with a cast on and potentially re-injuring my wrist. So I was like, you know what? Well, it's going to be fine. I'm the champ, you know? So still the champ. And if you go into these things with a champ mentality, you're definitely going to be fine, whatever happens.
Sure. On the topic of historic crossover again, if people follow you on social media, whether it be Instagram or Twitter, it kind of seemed like it was a no-brainer for you to team up with Clark, because Clark has popped up in a lot of your pictures on there. But where did the idea come together for you guys to team up and work together at a historic crossover?
So we actually met, and this is a really funny story. We actually met for the first time at Historic Crossover 1. So pretty much 2 years ago. Yeah. I was walking backstage and I ran into Gabe Kidd and Clark Connors, and they already had a few drinks, right? And they're like, "Hey, what's up?" And I was like, "Yeah, oh, what's up? Finally some real people, you know, because none of the girls drink backstage, right? And we never have, we're like separated, right? You got the boys and the girls." That was the first joint show we did. So I was really excited. I was like, hell yeah, where's the party? Why am I late? You know? So it was really cool. And the boys were right away. We clicked right away. After 2 minutes, they're like, yeah, you want to go out after this? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to go out, right? So we all packed our shit and we met up in Shinjuku. And it just went for drinks all night long, right? And it was, it's really cool because we all had our debut around the same time. We both have the Japan history, right? We're kind of the only ones from the outstanding of foreigners, you know, who are able to make it here for a long time. So a lot of things in common clicked right away. And then I just started to hang out a lot with the boys, basically all the war dogs. I'm cool with everybody. So that's how it kind of just naturally evolved. And then at some point coming back from my hiatus earlier this year, I joined Oedo Tai, right? So around that time, I was already thinking, like, how can I get back, you know, on all these people that have wronged me throughout the years here, you know? So, and being close with the boys and, like, shooting the shit, it's like, you know, we should work together sometime. I think that could create really, like, some, you know, I think people would really hate that. So we should do that. You know? So yeah, that's kind of how it started, basically. And just looking at Hate right now, my current unit, and looking at the War Dogs, by far the coolest units in both New Japan and Stardom.
Yep.
Visually and mentality wise, a lot in common. And that's also on purpose. So yeah, it all clicked. It all makes a lot of sense. I think it's, as you said, a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So it sounds like beyond Historic Crossover 2, this relationship could continue?
Yeah, that's the plan. Let's. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is gonna be our first tag team experience, right?
Yeah.
Both of us being in the ring together, other than him just, you know, coming in and spearing Nat's boy. Depending on how that goes, it's definitely our plan to continue. I think we'd be a fire tag team. Our moves are very similar too. Our whole demeanor is similar. We got tons of great ideas. So if this goes well, I'm also, and I'm, as I said, I'm tied with the boys. So I already feel like a War Dogs member, more or less, you know what I mean? Like with the shirt coming out and everything. So maybe, who knows? Maybe they need my help at some point. Who knows?
How did you guys feel like the reaction to it when I first watched it? Like that gas from the Japanese crowd and like people were like legitimately shocked that Clark Connor came out and speared her.
Yeah. Oh, that was the most fun I've had all year, to be honest. That was amazing. Also, we really swerved them before because we had a little thing. I told Momo about it beforehand, right? So the referee was out, and then Momo came in. You know, even though we had a special rule that no Hate members or no Cosmic Angels members were allowed ringside, right? So it was all cleared out. It was just me and her, and then the referee was out for some reason. And then Momo came, you know, from far, and everybody was starting to boo the fuck out of it, right? It's like, no! And I did a whole dramatic thing. I was like, no, Momo, I want to do it myself! No! And the people in the audience were just like, yeah, yes, yes, you can do it, girl, you know? And then she kicked me in the face a couple of more times, and then at some point I just started laughing. It's like, look behind you! And it's just Clark Connors, you know, and people were, they were so fucking mad. It was beautiful. It was better than I thought it was going to be. So I cherish that memory.
That's really incredible to think about that you guys planned it and it went even better than you expected. Historic Crossover represents... We don't see a lot of shows like this throughout the year, throughout history, honestly, with two historic companies. Talk to us just about the importance of what the show represents. You don't see a lot of men and women wrestling in general just colliding like this.
Yes, definitely not in Japan, I think. Mm-hmm. And Japanese are still very skeptical about it. They don't really like the idea, you know, and I totally understand, you know. I think it's really a chance to create something new and also be respectful of what everybody likes and doesn't like, you know, yeah. make it good, make it interesting. I think it's, yeah, as I said, I like new things. I like challenges and those are kind of events are always a chance to bring something new to the table. Mm-hmm. And I think people really like it too, because both Stardom and New Japan are fantastic companies, you know, with badass wrestlers, very talented people throughout. So why not put it all together? I think it's great. And I think everybody wants to see me beat the crap out of Tai Chi, right? And everybody wants to see Clark Connors again spear the hell out of Nuts Boy, you know? So why not give the people that? You know, I think it's great.
Yeah, we have an intergender match on the card this year. I know the last few years when we have had the mixed match, they've been kind of stickler to, all right, the men wrestle the men, the women wrestle the women. This does seem like they're trying to go outside of the box with the event.
Yes, I think they are. I'm not sure if they have not reversed the rules again. So I think they're going to try to do it orthodox again. But you have been following what me and Clark do, so... You can be sure that we're gonna find a way to get exactly what we want. So whatever the rules are, you'll see good stuff happening.
Yeah, there's been a lot of upheaval in Stardom in general. Like I think in this year, with the amount of the units that switched around. I mean, coming into this year, this was gonna be the 10th anniversary of Oedotai, and out of nowhere, you guys flipped the script on everybody and rebranded as Hate. Was there any kind of inclination from you of like any intimidation of changing such a well-known faction with such a long history in the company?
No, I think it's great.
That made it better for you, right?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Look at it. It's so much cooler. You know, I mean, I might be a little biased because it's very possible that I came up with the name Hate.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so and maybe a little, maybe I had my hands in the visual of everything too. You know, there that's definitely a very like it's a big possibility. Mm-hmm. So no, I think it's great. I think it's cool to change things up. I think mm-hmm. with me, Konami and Kamitani coming in. It's just a whole different vibe, and it was about time to change things up. I can be a traditionalist in some things, and I respect the long history of
anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was. Up until a couple of years ago, growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
A way to tie. But I personally feel a lot more in sync with what Hate stands for. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think Oedo Tai, right before they changed it up, had a bit of a school yard bully vibe to it, you know, with the purple look and, you know, and the kids running wild, you know, and just, it was cute. You know, when I was in Donna del Mondo, I thought, okay, that this they have potential, but they don't intimidate me at all. You know, it's just not enough. Mm. And I think now with how everything looks and how everything sounds, talking music, and how everything is you know, Natsuko just getting a buzz cut, you know, all that stuff. It's just cool, man. You know, and that there's a threat to everything we do here. Mm-hmm. So no. No, I don't mind at all. I think it's fantastic. Best decision ever.
It feels like just because you had a little bit more connection, that it feels a bit more like your baby, like something that you could be proud of and stand behind. And that's amazing. You wanna feel like 100% yourself when you're presented out there. So that's great. You spent most of your time in Japan, whether it's Ice Ribbon or World Stardom, in those positions. Do you have any interest in coming over to America and showing us those amazing talents that you have?
Hell yeah, of course. I have no idea why I'm not already over there.
Right?
Or why I haven't been over there before. It's crazy. I've spent most of my, as you said, most of my career in Japan. And also, of course, it's COVID plays into that, and me, for some reason, learning Japanese and being really good at living here, you know, as a foreigner, of course, that plays into it. But still, I haven't even had a single match in the States, and I've been to the States plenty of times. You know, I used to live in the States when I was a teenager, so it's a no-brainer that I would do stuff there, right? So, but I think it's coming up soon. There's plenty of girls and women I'd love to wrestle in the States, you know, throughout all companies. So just wait a little longer. Mm-hmm. I think we got something coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say anymore.
Yes.
Say no more.
I mean, there are some belts that, you know, you could challenge for that have like some ties to the U.S., whether it be the New Japan Strong Women's Belt or IWGP Women's Belt. So there's opportunities.
Hey, there's plenty of opportunities. And I've already got my eyes set on one or maybe another. Belt. Yeah. Aha. But who knows? Who knows? I mean, I don't know. No more. Say no more.
No more.
No more.
I mean, you know, with the change and the impact you guys made with Hate, the Idol Killer. I think the Idol Killer is such a creative idea with where Japanese wrestling is, and idols are such a big part of pop culture in Japan. If you were to explain your aim to somebody, though, that doesn't watch Japanese wrestling and doesn't kind of understand idol culture, how would you explain, like, your motives for that character?
See, this is a good one because it's really difficult to explain it to American audiences because the whole phenomenon of idol culture isn't really comparable. And there's a few things, let's say idol music is the main thing, right? And idol music is usually a song, or the artists are all like female, young, cute looking girls who high pitch their voices on purpose, act like children on purpose, and dress like children on purpose to please a older, usually older male audience. Spend most of their money on those girls and being fans and act like they're in a big crazy cult. If you want to see, and this is a very radical way of painting that picture, right? But that is the worst. That is how bad it can get, right? And to compare it to people that, you know, what people know, it's a Tam Nakano does that, some sort of that stuff too, right? And making videos where she looks into the camera and acts like she's somebody's like girlfriend, you know, and like makes faces and all that behavior, the tutus, you know, the cute colors, the high-pitched voices, that's all fake. That's all on purpose. That's all to make people spend a lot of money on an idea that I personally just don't think is really cool, you know. I don't like the idea of girls trying to make themselves look like children and behaving in a way that is not very, how do you say, like, just strong and independent, and I'm gonna make bold choices. No, I'm gonna be a badass. You know, that's all. That's what I stand for. You know, it's like, so be a rock star. Be famous. Be cool. Don't be shy. Don't act like, you know. So, you know, it's not. It doesn't belong in the wrestling world, in my opinion. You know, we should be athletes. We should be, of course, diversity is always important, but that's not. We don't have to be that diverse. That's not what I stand for, basically. So if you want to translate that to American, anything that Americans would understand, it's the most popular girls trying to act really strange and weird, and me being there to take them all out one after one, basically.
Yeah. So if you're one of those fans that somewhere that likes Maki Ito and all of these wrestlers that want
you know
to
what you know what no Maki Ito no don't talk shit on Maki Ito. Whoa.
Sorry, Maki. I'm sorry. I just thought Maki comes out and saying that.
No, that whole thing is a play on that. You know, she's playing with that. She's obviously that she understands exactly what she's doing. And she is, she's playing the Sims, you know? No, we're on the same team, man. You don't understand. No, she's really cool. I think I really like what she's doing. I mean, obviously she's still the cutest in the world and she's an idol and I'd have to kick her ass, but, but she is, representing that thing in such a cool way. So, love goes out to Maki.
Nah, all the rest of you idols, though, it's on site. It's on site.
Everybody knows. No, it's on.
Yeah. We're oh, go ahead, Phil.
I think for me, like when I was like looking into you, and like I went to art school growing up, like so I of course am one of those people that went to art school, and then people are like, wait a minute, you're not doing anything that looks like art school related. And so I kind of like look at you and like you're wrestling. That's so vastly different from what I think of like an art school grad. And like, I know you've done like the music and writing and some ballet. How do you still find time for like creative outlets? How do you find a way to introduce that in with the wrestling sometimes?
Right. It's hard with the time because you see our schedules. It's really wild. Mm-hmm. Usually I just happen to be on hiatus for one reason or another. And then that's usually when I don't have to wrestle, I have to do something else. And it's usually creative stuff to kind of get my mind off the physical. And it's for example, the painting right now, I'm into painting, and I do, I'm actually preparing an exhibition, but I'll talk about that a little more later.
Wow.
So usually the wrestling inspires the painting, and then the painting, whatever happens between me and my art, inspires what I do in the ring, right? And that's something that's been really working very well for me. When it comes to creative outlet, yeah, as you said, usually I do the shirts, and I design the costumes and the gear. I write the music, right? Or even coming up with things for Hate is very creative mm-hmm. process for me, right? So, and right now we have the painting, and I'm actually preparing a new exhibition in Tokyo. And for everybody who's going to come out to Wrestle Kingdom weekend, this is very interesting because I especially designed it to be around that time, because usually, especially throughout my first two exhibitions here in Tokyo, it was mostly during a time where only Japanese people could see it. And I know that a lot of people from overseas come over to watch the, you know, we have Wrestle Kingdom. We have a big show, Stardom, before that at Sumo Hall. Mm-hmm. And then we have the AEW and Wrestle and New Japan joint show. The Wrestle Dynasty is on the 5th, so it's like WrestleMania weekend, but in Japan. And I know that a lot of fans are going to be out there for that, so I decided to have an exhibition on the 2nd of January. And this is actually the first time I think I'm promoting this, because it's been a secret until now. Wow. So second is gonna be the opening of the show, and it's in a very prominent spot too in Harajuku. So for everybody who, because Japan can be a bit of a quiet time around New Year's, so for everybody who's looking for a party, I gotcha. It's gonna be wild.
January 2nd. That's
right.
That sounds amazing. A part of that amazing wrestling week, it feels like, because there's a bunch of great festivities happening around pro wrestling around that time. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah. So everybody's invited. Everybody can come. There's probably going to be a lot of the boys there too, because that's usually for a very good opportunity for us to get very, very drunk and crazy. Although we have match. I think I have a match next day, so I have to be a little, I might have to chill a little, but everybody else can do whatever the hell they want.
Sounds like a great time.
Hell yeah. We'll be good. Last two ones were very good. So whoever was there knows, you know.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. I got to get to Japan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we're
but I've got some stuff planned for the States too. So I think. But no more. Say no more.
No more. No more.
No more.
Keep us posted, of course, when you do have the galleries in America. Man, would love to see the gallery in Japan, but I don't know. That's, I don't know if I'll be able to make that trip to Japan in January for reasons.
You should, because it's such a good time here. It's so crazy. Just the shows are amazing, and the gallery scene, the art stuff is so great. I mean, whoever hasn't been to Japan, it's around, especially around this time, it's really good. It's beautiful.
How long have you been to Japan?
This year, next year is coming up my 5-year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time. Mm-hmm. Long time. Good time, but long, but good. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of all I have. You got any other questions, Rich?
That's it.
Cool. Friend of the show, Lyric, had you on at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about your contract being up soon. Is that still a thing? Is your contract still up soon? What is your current contract status?
Question mark.
I think yes, I am. I'm currently still a freelancer, and I'm free to do whatever. I've got a lot of freedom to move around. So yes, my contract is not still up, but coming up again more, because I think the time when I was talking to Lyric, that was in January. So and we've got November now, so it's time of the year is coming. So yeah, I think you're most likely going to see some more of me. And maybe outside of Japan.
No more.
No more. No more. No more. Yeah, I think you get it. So everybody, stay tuned. That's all I can say for now.
Exciting, very exciting.
Very exciting, of course. Keep an eye on Tekla in the Goddess of Stardom Tag League. And, of course, Historic Crossover 2 coming up November 17th. And, you know, hopefully we're going to see her more in the States and abroad.
Hopefully.
But, yeah, this has been a blast. This has been a blast. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Hey, thanks for having me. It was a real fun time.
Yeah, but this has been Grapsody. I'm Phil Lindsay, Righteous Reg. Tekla, we're out of here.
Thanks, guys. See you soon. Bye-bye.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.